The following podcast is scheduled for one fall. From the heart of Broadway in historic downtown Cape Girardeau, this is Pro Wrestling Unscripted.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to an all-new episode of Pro Wrestling Unscripted here on the Podzilla 1985 Network with me, your host, Shannon Young, Mr. 100, back at you again. The start of May, and if you live in Southeast Missouri, God, our prayers are with you because it's rough out there. It's still rough out there. It's raining again now.
It's supposed to rain all night again, yep. And
through Saturday, I think.
The picture of the Mississippi River that's going around Facebook right now, on the Emerson Bridge.
Yeah,
like it's real high.
Scary.
Also, just real quick, like I know we're kind of joking about it, but you know we do want to send.
Oh no, I'm not joking. Like,
condolences to like
because
the entire community of Van Buren. Has been like washed away. The landing is completely underwater.
Yeah,
it's bad. It's where the Missouri is in a state of emergency.
Yeah, no, so. I hope no one took it as a joke because I really meant it. Like my thoughts and prayers really are with you guys because it's like just looking outside, like you said, at the Ohio River over here. Not
the
Ohio,
the Mississippi River.
I'm from Illinois. I'm from Illinois where the Ohio River ran right through us.
Yeah, you're in the good state
now. I know. I want the state where Billy's mean.
yeah. I want to say that it was higher last year at some point.
Whenever,
I think it was in like January or something like that. It was higher than what it is now, but I'm not scoffing at it by any stretch of the imagination.
No, because we're still close to what it was last year.
Yeah.
I mean, they're shutting off the I-55. Apparently, like Lonnie Sr. was in earlier. He can't get to St. Louis. He had a Cardinals tickets, which sucks.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, it's bad.
My friend's supposed to be going to Nebraska. Like Audra's supposed to be going to Nebraska. She's looking for alternate routes because.
Which, by the way, tell her I'm sorry. Because I was the first one to reply, and I just posted a GIF of Nightcrawler, and I thought I'd be funny. Everyone else provided actual
was like being helpful.
And I was going to message her and say, I'm so sorry for being an idiot. I just thought I would make you smile, and I don't feel like I accomplished that. So please apologize to her. But hey, we're here to talk about wrestling tonight, and we're going to talk about something that's not going to make you smile. And that's the House of Horrors match from Sunday's Payback. I kind of wondered whether or not I wanted to start with that so we could Fiend Lane Austin. Or
my thought was, I honestly
we want to save that.
I thought that was going to be like the main event.
Okay,
like that's going to be what we build to.
We'll save that for the main event. And just real quick, just as a personal gloating, sort of, or just self congratulation. If you didn't listen to last night's show, didn't see it on our Facebook,
shame on you.
Shame on you. First of all, please follow us and like us and all that good stuff. We need it. We love it. We need your attention. But this would be a good time to introduce the cast to myself, Shannon Young, Asa Gray down at the end of the table, Ali Abair to my right, the Big D Dalton Anthony to my left.
Yo.
The five-star man, Asa Gray. Sorry. So Ali, not actually Abair.
I don't know if I told you or you heard me, but
AKA
I actually.
Carl.
Carl! I got my, I changed my, my Twitch handle is now the five-star man as well, so it matches my Twitter handle too.
Good. And you can find us on those things, by the way.
Yeah.
Some stuff
might be happening on Twitch with me soon.
But what's happening now is that we have officially been selected to be the commentary team for Cape Championship Wrestling when they have signed their exclusive deal with Fight TV now, and we're going to be all over that. Interviews, doing commentary. We talked about it on last night's show. Please go back and listen to it. It's at the very beginning. We don't want to spend a lot of time tonight talking about it because we spent 20 minutes bragging last night.
Mm-hmm.
But again, a quick round of applause and congratulations to the guys on the team here, to all of the Podzilla 1985 family and everyone out there listening. You guys made this happen. So thank you so much. All right, so let's jump into wrestling news real quick, and let's start with the worst news of the week. Let's just get it out of the way so Dalton doesn't feel bad. X-Pac. Let's talk about X-Pac. So X-Pac, I believe it was over the weekend.
Saturday.
Everyone thought he relapsed. Kevin Nash said no, he did not relapse.
Yeah, so what it was is that he went missing. He wasn't responding to tweets, wasn't responding to phone calls. I think later, because that was Sunday that I found out we were watching Payback. And then I think later that night it said he was there, like, or he responded to somebody. And then the next morning I woke up to see that he was busted at LAX. Was it LAX?
Yeah.
It was LAX with having marijuana and methamphetamines and not
$700 in U.S. currency.
Yeah. And not that it was like a little bit of weed and a little bit of meth. It was enough weed and enough meth to make them believe that he was probably going to sell it.
But he was also, it's worth noting, he was in LAX on his way to Europe. Like, he was leaving the country with this.
Yeah.
And I got a couple questions. One, like, first a statement.
Mm-hmm.
Everyone is innocent until proven guilty.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. X-Pac did say that it wasn't meth. It was something else. Asa, you looked it up a second ago. What is it?
Candida pills.
Which we're not entirely sure.
C-A-N-D-I-D-A. Which everything that I'm seeing is it's some sort of, like, antifungal.
Right.
It treats, let me pull it back up real quick, but apparently it's also not like super regulated. Like it's a supplement.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Which, hey, guess those aren't regulated.
Yeah.
That's another show.
Yeah.
But so we, you know, we'll take him at his word until proven otherwise, because he does deserve.
And he does say that, you know, they did, you know, clearly they confiscated everything and it was sent to the lab. The authorities that arrested him believed they were methamphetamine pills.
Right. So okay. Maybe it's not.
So they sent them to be tested. And then once those tests come back, we'll know for sure.
And I'd love to give him the benefit of the doubt.
But. And I'm the one saying but on this. So, but whenever you have enough weed to make them think that you're selling it overseas.
Yeah.
Your benefit of the doubt to me goes out the window, even if it is X-Pac.
Like, and I don't know if it was the amount of weed is the amount that was.
I think it was the methamphetamines.
I think it was the alleged meth pills.
Yeah. Okay.
And that's, and I, again, the reason I want to give him the benefit of the doubt isn't even because I like X-Pac a lot. I do like X-Pac.
Yeah. No, I love X-Pac.
Loves X-Pac. Yeah. Yeah. But it's just like, I think that people would have, Ali, enough common sense to not try to get on a plane with a bunch of meth.
Why did you direct that at me specifically?
I wanted to involve you.
Okay.
You just want to make sure you weren't trying to like flying around with
selling meth.
You know,
Carl.
So I know you've been binge watching Breaking Bad. Why? Like I could do this,
and dressing like Walking Dead.
Now, and I just wanted to ask you this: like, whenever the whole Hogan thing happened, how upset were you
with the Hogan racist thing?
Yeah, just all of it together.
I was upset because, and I'm still upset because it was an invasion of privacy. It was an invasion of privacy. Everyone demonized him for something that happened years ago at a very low point in his life when he was recorded without his knowledge. I was upset because I didn't think he was getting a fair shake because so many people were predisposed to hating Hulk Hogan.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that it didn't matter if he was innocent or guilty. Everybody was going to hate him anyway.
Yeah.
You know, but what he said was terrible. Don't get me wrong.
Yeah. It's just, I just wanted to get your thoughts on it because I know that's your favorite wrestler. So like whenever that happened to him.
I mean, he's my favorite personality for sure.
Well, yeah. You know,
Hogan is my Kid Shannon bigger than life Hulk Hogan thing. Yeah. So yeah I could see that.
And
yeah.
like Kid Shannon's Hogan is Dalton's kid or Kid Dalton and Kid or Teen Dalton's favorite wrestler.
X-Pac.
Yeah. Like, and it, I mean, the last couple, like, okay, not last couple, like the last decade has been really, well, the last like 20 years has been really rough for him.
Oh yeah.
Cause he's been in and out of like substance abuse issues, the whole China situation,
when
like all
left
that.
WWE.
Yeah.
Pretty much.
Yeah. And the way he left WWE with like the X-Pac heat, everybody's saying that's his legacy. And I'm like, are you sure? Because I mean, Chris Jericho goes on record whenever he was in trouble with WWE. He had a show with X-Pac like a couple months ago. And Vince went up to him and said, you're having a match with X-Pac. If you can't have a good match with X-Pac, you don't need to be here. Because that's how good X-Pac was. Like,
I never agreed with X-Pac heat. I thought X-Pac was... his character got a little stale.
Yeah, and I mean, there was a lot of things with, like, beating women. Like, that was a lot of his character, like, late 90s, early 2000s and stuff like that, where that's where people just hated him because. But he was an amazing worker. But it's one of those, like, you do all the things that he did with, like, drugs and whatnot. And he was also friends with like Triple H and Nash and all them. So people just assume that he got a push because of that. And just,
also, we had a weird thing in the audio there. So if like 5 seconds skipped out on you guys, I'm sorry about that. I don't know. It just paused for a second.
Yeah, it's me rambling. It's fine.
No, it's fine because it's a good ramble. Yeah. So I don't want people to lose this.
So it's just one of those things where he's always been one of my, like, well, he's my favorite wrestler. We've talked about it. Hunter thinks it's the weirdest thing. But
I don't think it's weird. X-Pac is a great wrestler.
Yeah, and it's just one of those, like, it broke my heart because he was at the Jericho podcast not too long ago just saying, like, yeah, no, I've been clean for this amount of long time. He's like, I'm really hoping WWE calls me soon to, like, help out with NXT. Because that's X-Pac is – Sean Waltman is an amazing person to have with younger talent. Even if he can still wrestle. Like, even if it's just, like, some enhancement matches on NXT to get somebody over.
I wouldn't immediately agree with that only because – just because you can do something really well doesn't mean you can teach it very well. Like, and I don't mean that as, I don't mean that as a shot to X-Pac at all. I just mean, like, I mean, I don't think his input would be bad, but you can't just flat out say that, oh, he would be great there.
Because there's a lot of people that are good at something, but if they try to explain it to you, not so good.
Yeah, and it's, but I mean, he was talking about, it's like, no, I would love to help out with that, but, and Chris Jericho said, yeah, no, like, what you need to do is just keep on this road for, get yourself a record of being clean, and then they'll get you back, and then this happens, and it's just like,
well,
you were.
And he is also on, he's also pretty well spoken about how he's clean from hard drugs and alcohol, but he still smokes a lot of weed.
Yeah, that is true.
But so do a lot of wrestlers.
No, yeah, so do a lot of wrestlers, but, also, so I found it. He was found, when he was arrested, he had, where did it go? I literally just had it. Okay. 2 marijuana joints, 38 capsules of methamphetamine, which he is saying are yeast cleanse capsules.
Supplements.
Dietary supplements. Yeah. So again, the lab will have to come back from that. 56 capsules of THC and 3 chocolate bars infused with marijuana.
Again, why are you trying to bring this onto a plane? Like,
yeah, that's,
come on, you're
that's
smarter
not a
than
good,
that.
Yeah, that's not a good call to bring any of that on the plane.
Yeah.
It's like when you hear about rappers bringing guns to the airport and trying to get on a plane with a gun, and you go, why?
Yeah.
Like, are you that stupid?
And then X-Pac actually did take to his personal Twitter and say that we'll have to wait for the lab results to come back on my yeast cleanse capsules, he wrote. In the meantime, I understand people's reasons for doubt. So I don't know if, like, the THC pills and the meth pills are all supposedly the supplement, or if, you know, because THC pills are not uncommon.
Right.
I don't know what's a lot. 56 sounds like a lot.
Yeah.
And honestly, like, with him, and I'm assuming a lot of the people that, you know, he hangs out with and parties with, like, he may just be the guy who's bringing the stuff. He may not intend to sell.
Yeah.
But even if he's, like, giving it to his friends, that's intent to traffic.
Yeah.
Also, and, when he was arrested, he had plane. A... When he was arrested, yeah. He had an outstanding warrant for his arrest in L.A. for a DUI.
Oh, I didn't know about that.
And yep. I feel really bad for him.
That was an arrest in 2004.
Yeah. There, it's like exactly like when Hogan got busted for what, you know, he
yeah,
said.
Yeah, no, I'm not defending. And, I have not once defended X-Pac.
What I'm trying to say is when Hogan got busted and everyone that automatically had a dislike of Hogan mm-hmm. jumped on the bandwagon, certain people that, you know, I almost got into fights with over.
Yeah.
Immediately. You know, gave him so much shade
mm-hmm.
to clean it up and use the kid slang.
Yeah.
And the same thing with X-Pac.
Freeform.
Like, as soon as X-Pac gets busted for something like this, the internet's abuzz with jokes and, he fell off the wagon and stuff like that. And that's unfair. You shouldn't demonize the dude before he has a chance to, you know, to state his case.
Yeah.
Because stuff like that, like automatically jumping the gun and assuming, that can follow someone for life. That can ruin somebody.
Yeah. And it's one of those, like, it's super, and I mean, I'm really, really upset over it just because he was an idol of mine for the longest time and I knew the rough times he was having, but it looked like he was finally on the upswing.
He does claim to still be sober.
Yeah.
He's released from jail. He has a court date later this month, it says. But like he says that, you know, he's still mentally strong. He's still sober.
Which makes that real weird that he's caring so much.
I mean, especially if it's not meth, if it turns out to be, okay, that was actually supplements. And again, like I said, I'm willing to bet that, you know, he was preparing for a party.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, he might have been planning to eat a candy bar on the plane.
Right.
You know, cause edibles are huge. I'm willing to bet by the end of the decade, marijuana will be legal in the U.S., if not by, you know, 2025.
And it should be.
A lot of states are, you know, California, the state he was, like, I don't know if the amount that he was carrying is within the legal amount. But it's legal
and
in California.
And he may not have had a card either.
Yeah. So there's a lot of variables to this story we just don't know about.
Yeah, and it's just one of those things that was heartbreaking to me just because I was like, man, you're on the upswing and this is what you do. Because, mm-hmm. like, bringing it on the plane is that's a solid no matter what.
That's just a bad idea.
Especially,
yeah.
like, not only a plane, but a plane going to another country.
Yeah.
You're leaving the country with it.
So
that got twice as many checks.
That got Evan Bourne in jail in Japan for
a couple months. Yeah.
Yeah. It's, we'll keep up to date on it because I really hope that it's not true. But if it is meth, X-Pac going bye-bye. X-Pac machine broke.
If it is, get him to DDP.
And that's what so there's been a bunch
of people. No, he's going to jail.
Well, yeah, but.
He ain't going to DDP.
After.
He did get bailed out. It is important, like, whenever
he got bailed out. Yeah. It was like $35,000. He paid his bail and he's out.
But I mean, if they can make a case that he's trying to traffic drugs. He's done.
Yeah.
Like, he's done. I don't know how long he'd go for, but he would definitely go.
And the one thing that makes me kind of optimistic, as long as it doesn't seem like it's that an actual drug, like it's just the supplements, is that he is one of Triple H's guys.
Yeah.
So maybe if that's the case, maybe this is the time that Triple H shakes him and says, hey, you're getting clean this time. Or DDP does it, because, like, I mean,
you can try, but it's one of those things where
he wants to want that.
Look at Scott Hall. Look at Jake the Snake Roberts. These guys that have wanted to get clean, and there's a great documentary, The Resurrection of Jake Roberts.
Just watched it last week.
If you want to see the prequel to that, watch Beyond the Mat.
Mm-hmm.
Oh,
and
God.
Just see
that's
how
before,
it goes.
That's a scary before to a really nice after.
Yes, but they have to want it.
Yeah, you know? And I know that. I'm
Xbox
aware of that.
Still,
yeah.
If you look at X-Pac, of all of the guys of the clique, X-Pac, Shawn Michaels, Diesel, Kevin Nash, it's still in my head, and Scott Hall, whenever you see them, he's still rocking the bandana. He's still rocking that long hair.
Yeah.
He still looks like he's partying it up, like it's the old days,
mm-hmm.
and that worries me. You know, like, it's not so far out of the question that he would do something like this.
Yeah.
But I hope not. I really hope not. I hope this has a happy ending.
Yeah, because I mean, it's one of those, like, I have a list of people that I want to make Hall of, I want to be in the Hall of Fame. I feel like he deserves to be in the Hall of Fame someday.
He does deserve it.
But if he keeps doing stuff like this, it's going to be very, very hard for him.
But
to get
I mean, Kurt Angle's back in WWE.
This is a tangent that maybe for another show. Do you think that he'll go in individually, or do you think they'll go put him in as DX as a whole, like they did with the four, like the Horsemen?
That I think both. Because the Outlaws, I feel, also needs to be in, not both.
No, I don't think both. I don't think it would be both. I think that
I think DX now, mm-hmm. but years later, X-Pac. Because I mean, eventually they're going to run out of people that they can.
I mean,
put in there.
There's the Coco Beware argument. There's exactly. always the Coco Beware
or,
argument.
Johnny was it Johnny Rods is in there?
No,
is Johnny Rods not in there?
I don't think so.
I don't know.
I could very much be wrong.
Yeah, Cody, I need you to verify on that. But yeah, there's people in there that questionable mm-hmm. at best.
Yeah, but it's one of those like with X-Pac, you can always
Rikishi.
Do.
Mm-hmm. What did Rikishi do that X-Pac didn't do?
He ran over The Rock.
No, he ran over Stone Cold.
Stone Cold.
But he did it for the Rock.
Oh, my God. I'm tired.
Again, I've been listening to Attitude Era, and that's right where I'm at.
But let's leave it at this. We'll keep you updated.
Yeah.
And like hope
said,
for a good
there's ending. There's the trial. He's scheduled for a court appearance later in the month. We don't know. That could just be in a list of charges that he's going to be facing.
Yeah.
But, you know, we wish him well.
We really do. That, we really do. Absolutely.
Hopefully he's proven right, and it's just he did a dumb, dumb, dumb thing.
Yeah.
Remember when I said shade earlier?
Mm-hmm.
Speaking of shade,
Corey
Graves.
Oh,
did you read that?
Oh, I saw, I heard it. Like I listened to the clip.
Oh my God! So, all right. So a couple was a month ago, 2 months ago.
It was a while back.
It's been a while, yeah.
Tom Phillips got in some hot water online because mm-hmm. he allegedly, and I still say allegedly because I don't know if it was ever proven, mm-hmm. but that he sent some messages
explicit
to
Instagram direct messages
to a woman that was not his fiance or wife or whatever girlfriend whatever. Mm-hmm. I'm not gonna repeat what he said,
right?
But it was really bad.
Yep.
And the girl posted.
It wasn't bad. It was graphic.
It was graphic. It's not bad. It's graphic.
Like, cause it seemed like this was, he wasn't just sending this to random people. It seemed like this was it was embarrassing.
It's embarrassing.
Yeah.
So on 205 Live last night, or was it mm-hmm. night four?
Yeah.
Last night, yeah. Who's wrestling? It's
Noam Dar and somebody else.
And Cedric Alexander, Rich Swann, wasn't it?
Yeah, maybe. Cedric Alexander still hurt.
Yeah, it was Noam and Rich, I'm pretty sure.
Okay.
But during the commentary, Corey Graves is trying to defend Noam Dar of, you know, relationship with Alicia Fox.
Well, because someone called him, I don't know if it was Corey Graves, but someone said he looked like an internet deviant.
Yeah. Didn't they call him like Eurotrash or something? Eurotrash.
Yes.
Tom Phillips said he was a pervy Eurotrash is what mm-hmm. he said. To which Corey Graves responded with, well, it's not like he's sending DMs on Instagram that he shouldn't be doing.
And then there's like a beat and then a chuckle and like, I don't know if it was Vince like yelling at him or just the Tom Phillips doing the Dalton, just the slow turn, like, come on.
I hope it was that.
But he followed that up when it was almost immediately after. Mm-hmm. Tom Phillips says something like Noam Dar is
it's a longer flight than 4 hours.
Yeah, he said he was a bad boyfriend. Mm-hmm. And then freaking Corey Graves said, well, it's a lot longer than a 4 hour flight for Dar. Oh my God. Corey Graves. That is savage.
Did you see what he put on Twitter?
No.
Kind of in a blanket response to a lot of the people calling him out on it.
No.
It's like, if you can't bust your best friend's chops, then who can?
Yeah, well, they said then you can hear Tom Phillips like chuckle in it.
Yeah.
Like but man.
It's the whole Dalton defense of just being like, no, we make, like, if, what good is he if we can't make fun of him?
That, we call that a razor burn.
Yeah.
Oh!
Razor burn!
Because that one's so good.
Whose finisher is that going to be?
The razor burn?
CCW.
Marcos, because he doesn't know how to shave.
Oh. That's better than what I was going to say. I'm not even going to say it because it involves people that aren't there anymore. So
it's fine.
That baby head. On to happier news from WWE. Just real quick, let's talk about the Fashion Police. It's one of my new favorite things.
I hope this turns
wrestling
into a running thing forever.
I want this to. I was talking to Ace at Indiana Con whenever about that Morrison figure, about how much I miss like just the random internet shows, like the Dirt Sheet.
Yeah,
and the even Dirt Sheet was so good.
And even Crime Time's stupid little like Word of the Week show was. Yeah. It was dumb, but it was mm-hmm. fun. I want this to be like a 5 minute.
But keep it on SmackDown. This doesn't need to be buried on the WWE website or network.
Like, yeah, that's true.
This is another one of those things where Vince McMahon gives them like a terrible gimmick, mm-hmm. and then they turn it into gold, just like Dusty Rhodes,
and
just
honestly,
like.
I don't even think this is a Vince McMahon gimmick. I think the random pairing of them
just kind of created
itself.
Kinda,
and then they worked with it.
Yeah, because when they first joined up, Mm-hmm. It was just I always want to say Febreze because that was the first name I heard for them.
Right.
Clearly, that you know why they didn't go with that.
Right.
But when it was Tyler Breeze and Fandango, and they put them together, it was one of those. I get it, but I also don't care.
Yeah.
This is such a throwaway tag team.
Boy, this could be cool, but they're not going to let them do anything cool with it.
And then they did something cool this week.
Yeah.
The coolest.
The
thing.
Fashion Police was just hilarious. From there, woo.
Because that was the way they capped it off with that was amazing. But the beginning with the Law and Order parody with the WWE announcer.
Yeah.
Like. Their voiceover guy, and then the Law and Order intro with the ending it with the dun dun,
yeah,
like him saying dun dun, just that was funny to me.
It was great,
and there were so many little nods throughout that, like the bulletin board on the back
with all the different wrestlers,
Vince McMahon's mugshot, Classy Freddy Blassie,
Hulk Hogan with a sign that says creepy,
yeah,
John Cena's whereabouts unknown, King of No Style for Nakamura's picture.
That was great. That's the kind of comedy that I like.
Mm-hmm.
Like, not Roman Reigns coming out and talking about cheesy tater tots or whatever it was. What was it?
Tater tots and suffering succotash.
Yeah, that's just bad. That's bad comedy. It's not funny. Mm-hmm. This was funny.
Oh,
this
it was so funny. We left. They walk around backstage like they own the place. That's Jay walking. And Jimmy walking. Like, oh, you guys are the best. I forgot how much I miss Johnny Curtis.
I hate – remember humor like when they – when was it Carlito, when he would draw the Hornswoggle would draw the door on the wall and then they run through it.
That was Chavo.
Was that Chavo? Okay. Yeah. That's bad humor.
Yeah.
This is good humor. This was funny and we'd love to see more of it.
So
how
clever.
Long before they destroy it and run it into the ground?
After Backlash. So we got 2 more weeks.
You don't think they'll do it a little bit?
If they get a rematch.
Did you ever hear of the Blonde Bitch Project?
No.
I'm not making this up. There was...
and now we have to put the explicit on the show.
Bitch is in the Bible, probably. Somewhere.
Cross my defense on Nerd Up!
No, in the 90s, when the Blair Witch Project came out, I think it was right after... And I might be getting wrong.
Was it... They were going to do it with one of the members of PMS, wasn't it?
No, it was Al Snow. It was Al Snow and...
Don't look at me like that. That was the thing. That was the thing.
They were the pretty mean sisters,
yeah.
Yeah, with meat.
Yes! Yep.
Sean Stasiak.
Sean
we're
Stasiak.
He wrestled in underwear.
He wrestled in tidy whities and he had like lipstick lips all over his body.
Yeah, his name was Meat. Sean Stasiak, second generation superstar. Anyway, but no, they aired a series of skits, kind of like the Fashion Police, and it was like Al Snow and the Blue Meanie, I believe, looking for Sable, and it was like filmed like Blair Witch, and it was called the Blonde Bitch Project. But Vince McMahon never saw Blair Witch. So didn't get it, so he canceled it after like 2 skits, and there was never an ending to it because he just like Pirate Paul Burchill.
Oh yeah,
he didn't understand Pirates of the Caribbean, so he killed that, and that was so much fun.
Instead, he wanted to push for the he wanted to push for the incest angle between him and Katie.
Yeah,
thanks, Vince.
Thanks, Vinny. So please, more fashion, please. Yeah, meat.
God. Yeah,
I forgot about meat and the pretty mean sisters. Wrestling has never been accused of being high art.
Except for this week's... we're still waiting to do the House of Horrors.
That's the main event.
Ah, damn.
Yes. hey, I got good news.
Yeah.
Dalton, you were frustrated.
With?
With Brock Lesnar. You're like, why hasn't Lesnar defended the title? Why hasn't he defended the title? He's going to defend the title at the July...
July pay-per-view.
Well, that's only a couple months away.
No, what is that? Great American Bash, probably?
Nope.
Is it Bash at the Beach?
It's not Bash at the Beach.
Nope.
Yeah. SummerSlam White.
Nope.
It's in July. It has to have a beach theme, right?
It's hot. Like it's hot in the summer.
Like yeah. So like a heat wave.
So
does it bring back ECW heat wave?
No,
that's great.
No,
what did you call the sun?
Tell you what, it's gonna be a. I don't even want to do a bit anymore. It's great. It's great balls of fire.
Great Jesus. Balls of the fire.
The WWE Network special is the great balls of fire. And if you haven't seen the graphic for it, it looks like an 8-year-old figured out word art.
Because
believe it or not, fire. Is written in like it looks like it's fire. You
Jesus
guys.
Christ!
Why is it New Day hosting this one?
I feel like when I saw that originally, I thought it was just a joke.
I thought it was kayfabe.
I thought it was kayfabe. Yeah,
kayfabe
news or like yeah. Southpaw Regional Wrestling presents.
No, this is legit. Great balls of fire.
Mm-hmm.
That is the most current song Vince loves.
But you know what? We're talking about it. Twitter's talking about it.
How can you not?
It's the
people love squalor.
There's no such thing as bad publicity. And Vince, I guarantee you, just loves the fact that everyone is talking about this. And I think that they chose a ridiculous name to try to like bury the fact that we're not going to get a Universal Championship match until July,
which is 2 months from now.
Mm-hmm.
Over 2 months from now. And how long has it been since Lesnar won the title?
1 month.
It was summer. It was WrestleMania.
Beginning of April.
So 3 months. without a title defense. Mm-hmm. How often do they love to tout that 30-day clause?
They do it more in SmackDown than Raw.
This was the and also Raw was the first time they even mentioned the Universal title since WrestleMania.
Yup.
Because they started with Seth Rollins cut a terrible promo, and then Miz interrupted him, and then Balor interrupted him, and then Ambrose came out, or I don't know the order of it, but once everybody else started talking, it got a lot better. But Ambrose comes out last, and he's like, yeah, you guys are talking about the Universal title, but I have the number one championship on Raw because no one knows where Brock is. So then they all just decide, you're right, I want that championship. Now, since that's the one that is here.
They did mention it on, Payback, the pre-show, because Miz says, like, so you're back, what are you going to do now? And that was the one thing Balor says, I'm getting my belt back. And then Miz was like, do you know who has it now?
Yeah.
Which, I want that match.
I want Brock Lesnar to go away.
Yeah, and that's who I want, put him away.
Yeah, I want Brock Lesnar to retire at this point. Like, I'm done with his act.
I want him to wrestle like we know Brock Lesnar can. I don't want to see, we've talked about this to death already, but like, yeah. We're sick of Suplex City.
Yeah.
We want like American Alpha Lesnar.
Yeah.
Like have him be the coaches for American Alpha or something.
I want him to be the legit badass he used to be with the strikes and the knee strikes and the throws and the grappling.
But don't actually do it because.
Well, no, keep it wrestling.
Yeah.
Right.
But this Suplex City defend my title once every 3 months. Every time someone gets hurt, or even they might possibly get hurt, they strip them of the title immediately. Like Naomi, she came back like, what, 3 weeks after they stripped her of the title?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, she came back at WrestleMania.
Given her some more time to figure it out?
And that's what I said was with SmackDown, they keep with that a lot more. Their writing is a lot more solid compared to Raw.
And that's good. You're absolutely right. You are absolutely right. But the fact that Vince McMahon, the buck stops with him. So
yeah,
how stupid is it that you have two shows all under the same banner that have different rules?
Because that's how Vince, like, he likes to make competition that's not there. He hated WCW because it was actual competition. He loves brand splits because he can bend it however he needs to.
And WCW, during that high period with the NWO, was amazing.
Mm-hmm. Well, it had its problems.
Like, it did, but when the NWO was hot, not before it had 50 members.
Right.
But when it was just Hogan, Hall, and Nash.
You're talking about, okay, yeah.
You're talking about NWO. Incredible. So, yeah, real competition is what they need. Which is why you can catch Cape Championship Wrestling soon on the Fight Network.
I hear they have a very attractive commentary team.
I love their commentary team.
Yeah, they have just a smoking, attractive commentary team.
Three beards and a Carl is what we're going to call it.
Three beards and a Carl.
That is actually the name of my high school ska band.
No, stop it. We're going to get sued so quick by Parker Brothers.
Parker's
dog.
Parker and father.
Parker.
No, I like Parker and son. because Parker has the mystical powers.
Yeah.
He threatened me in my car tonight.
I saw that with a knife.
Scary, yeah. He's studying the blade right now.
He's got that fedora, too. All right, so that's ridiculous. Lesnar.
Yeah.
Speaking of no-shows. Get it?
I do. Yes.
Del Rio.
Yep.
Alberto El Patron.
Yep.
That's his name now, right?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Okay. He was supposed to be at a What Culture Pro Wrestling show.
Yep.
And did not show up.
Nope.
This is like, what, the 50th time he's no show?
He did the high school senior thing where he posted pictures of him getting drunk on Twitter and then called into work the next day.
No.
Yeah, because his last tweets were him like drinking wine. And yeah, so.
That reminds me.
And then he called in, and then he literally called What Culture and told him he was too sick to perform, which then led to his Inside the Ropes interview being canceled.
Good.
Well, indefinitely postponed is what they said.
The ship has sailed on Alberto Del Rio. Like, I think.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think?
I mean.
One, I don't find him to be that interesting as a character. I did like his work when he came back against Cena originally.
Yeah, like.
That one match.
Yep.
Because they immediately paired him up with Zeb Coulter after that and did nothing.
He's kind of like a worse Randy Orton in the sense that, like, when he's the star, he's great. And when the spotlight's on him, he's amazing. But you can tell when he phones it in.
Yeah.
And, I rewatched, or I didn't rewatch it. Someone on Reddit posted, a video of them announcing Alberto Del Rio coming to What Culture for the first time, because this is like his third time he's no-showed them. Mm-hmm. I think he's no-showed them as many times as he's actually wrestled.
I have the Davey Richards of CCW.
I have a really funny thing after you say yours.
But so they someone shows a posted the video of him, like, the name of the YouTube video is something. It's something like Vince doesn't like this. And it's him announcing, like, he's like, well, I'm not going to drag it out anymore, but imagine I'm doing a stupid British accent.
Yeah.
Because it's What Culture?
Yeah. Was it Adam?
I'm not going to drag this out anymore. The newest member of the What Culture Pro Wrestling roster, former WWE superstar, Alberto Del Rio. And it literally ends with him walking off the camera with this shit-eating smirk. Sorry, Vince. And I'm just like, this is why I hate everything you do.
Yeah, England.
Like, it's awful. And so it's like, oh yeah, how's that working out for you? How many times has he no-showed you?
So they do like their top 10 list. And I watch it most of the time. If it's...
Yeah? We know.
Anyway, if it's certain ones, like if it's Simon Miller, I like him.
You like Adam.
I
don't know if this was Adam. Yeah. This dude was skinnier and with glasses.
Oh, that was Adam Pacitti. The ones that do the main show, I'm kind of soured on just because they've gotten completely ridiculous.
Because they try to
they have
a pro wrestling show that they made themselves the star of.
Yeah, yep. But like Simon Miller is probably the most professional out of all of them, and I actually like his stuff. And I don't know if he did this one, but they did a top, and this was like 3 days before he no-showed, mm-hmm. but it was like top 10 badasses in wrestling, like legitimate badasses. And he was on there. He was like number 4, mm-hmm. and I was like, "Oh, that's really nice to give him that before."
Should be on that list because he is a professional MMA fighter.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, it's just one of those where it's just like, "Yeah,
ask him how he did against Krokop."
Not great. I mean,
not great.
In that defense, so was Jack Gallagher. He was also a professional MMA fighter.
Did he fight Krokop?
No, he was 2-0 though.
I don't know what Alberto Del Rio's is,
but yeah, no, it was just one of those where it's like, "Oh yeah, no," they gave him this big like, "Oh yeah, no, he's really tough," and then he no shows him. Like, yeah,
who
that's
do you
awesome.
Think does better? Mm-hmm. This is a random question. Don't spend too much time thinking about it.
Yeah.
Who does better? MMA fighters that go into wrestling or wrestlers that go into MMA?
The first one.
MMA fighters that go to wrestling.
And it's the whole thing. That's why I hate it whenever Brock Lesnar came back, whenever it was after, it was John Cena's worst year of his career. That whole thing.
Yeah.
Because the first person he fought after he lost to The Rock was Lesnar. And the entire video segments of Lesnar without Heyman, because he wasn't around at this point, was, Lesnar saying, "I'm bringing legitimacy back to WWE. I'm here because this is fake now. I'm here because I'm real."
Yeah, but we agreed with that. It was like a breath of fresh air at first.
I didn't like it just because I was like, well, I mean, that's really good that you're tearing down the promotion you're working for.
Well, it's,
I didn't like, do a whole other show. I don't like when Steiner did it. I don't like when anybody does
we
it.
We can do a whole other show on just the diva-ness of Brock Lesnar. Like, I know, so Colt Cabana got some heat for being in Cape Girardeau, but you look at Brock Lesnar and the way he's treated the business.
Yeah.
Like, that dude is a piece of garbage.
It's the same thing with, like, Kevin Nash, though.
Like, yeah, but I think Nash has a respect of the sport. He just also knows how to exploit it.
I think Lesnar's the exact same way.
You know, yeah, but I feel Lesnar is so openly, like, anti-wrestling.
So is Kevin Nash.
I guess I've not seen that.
They're both pro.
There's a lot of them. He very much just openly talks about.
And I'm not
going to
defend,
like,
Kevin Nash because I never liked Nash.
Because he just openly talks
Nash.
About, like,
I liked him in The Punisher.
He openly just talks about how good he was at manipulating people in the wrestling business,
mm-hmm.
and making himself a star and making himself a lot of money.
Yeah, I have
and
heard
he,
those.
And he did. And like, so those interviews don't go hand in hand with, but I have a great respect for the business in the sense that I don't think he has a greater respect for the business than Brock Lesnar does. Because I think Brock Lesnar I don't think he would be in it for as long as he was if he didn't. I don't think he would have come back.
Well, like, he doesn't need the money.
You can make the argument that, you know, that's the payouts, it's easy money for him, but
he doesn't need the money.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
He said before, he could live on his ranch. Was he in Canada now, isn't he?
Yeah. Oh, where is it at? Saskatchewan, I think is where he is.
I don't know.
Yeah.
But yeah,
he would just prefer to be off in the wilderness living a solitary life.
Yeah. And it's like, I'm not.
I don't think either Nash or Lesnar, like, look down on fellow wrestlers. Like, I think they have respect for, like, the people that they work with. And
I feel like that too, but when Brock Lesnar won in UFC, when he became a big deal,
he was a douchebag.
He was such a douchebag about wrestling. And I remember everyone.
No, he was such a douchebag about MMA too.
He's a douchebag in general.
Yeah.
But I remember all the wrestlers tweeting out, Matt Hardy especially was like, "Yeah, you guys doubt wrestlers now." Now Brock Lesnar's our guy. And I remember thinking, like, Brock Lesnar doesn't care about you. Mm-hmm. He's not doing this for you. He's doing it for him.
Yeah.
Because he's a badass.
Yeah.
You know, like, he did not think, I can legitimize wrestling.
He owes Matt Hardy nothing.
Or anybody.
Yeah.
He owes anybody.
But, like,
maybe Vince.
So, like, some of the, like, wrestlers that have gone into MMA, there's only two that really come out in my mind, and that's Lesnar and Lashley.
Yeah.
And,
well,
I mean,
Batista, I believe he's undefeated.
Amateur.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Lashley is a professional MMA fighter.
And there have been a couple. Sean O'Hare. Mm-hmm. He did MMA. He
did a little bit,
well.
Yeah. But
Punk
they usually
lost.
Punk lost. Yeah, thank you. That was another one. I don't know why I didn't think of that. But yeah, no, the ones that wrestlers
we wanted him to do better.
Yeah, I did.
We all did.
I have headcanon. He never lost that fight. That never happened. But like, there's two success stories, and that's Lashley and Lesnar.
Okay, how many MMA fighters to wrestling success stories are there? I can only think of one.
Ken Shamrock.
They brought Dan Severn in. He didn't do anything.
Tito Ortiz.
Changed that. Dan Severn was a big deal with NWA and a lot of. He wasn't a big deal in WWE.
Okay, let me rephrase that. In WWE, he wasn't.
Yeah, he was a big deal in the professional wrestling world. Well, he was doing it. He was doing what Lashley was doing. He was doing it simultaneously.
I guess I mean more of a WWE thing.
Yeah, no. Like, Dan Severn came out on WWF Monday Night Raw with the UFC Championship belt. That happened.
Tito Ortiz was in the Main Event Mafia.
And they draw money. Like,
Tito Ortiz was in Main Event Mafia. I don't think that drew anything.
But, like, it's a big deal whenever the MMA fighters come over because it's a different style. They have a certain way that – because, like, you can kind of plot out how they're going to do.
Yeah. Shamrock did exceptionally well.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Until they just stopped doing things with him. But it's one of those things where it's like, yeah, no, whenever it's MMA – and a lot of MMA fighters do have a chip on their shoulder if they have to wrestle a former pro wrestler that they're like, well, let's see what I can do to him. And more often than not, they get to see what they can do with him. I mean, even with Lesnar. Yeah, Lesnar won. He barely – or his Frank Mir got him in a heel hook after
– like a fluke heel hook.
Yeah,
like
after that, Lesnar that was destroying him.
That was
he
one
was
of the
like,
things where
what?
It's like, yeah, Lesnar – Lesnar put himself in a position he should have never put himself
yeah,
in.
Yeah, right.
Lesnar had that fight handily won, and then he made a mistake. A rookie MMA,
to beat him later.
Yeah, and then barely beat Carwin because Carwin almost had him a couple times. But then the second he just
could take punches that Carwin wasn't used to getting past a minute into the first round because he hit so hard.
Right.
And Lesnar had a stone head.
Let's enter Alistair Overeem, a professional kickboxer who was also an amazing MMA fighter. Mm-hmm. Destroyed him.
But to be fair, was this also around the time that the diverticulitis?
Brock Lesnar didn't have a single fight at 100%.
Right.
Overeem was very good.
Overeem is one of the best.
All right, let's talk about Cain Velasquez then.
Velasquez is the best. He's
who
amazing.
Just destroyed him. Like, it's one of those things.
But then he came back and fought Mark Hunt.
And was steroided out of his mind.
Yep, but didn't know it at the time.
We assumed.
Yeah, because WWE wasn't testing
Allie, what happens when you assume?
I'm not saying it.
He failed the drug test. That's what happened when you assume.
All right. Well, let's get off Lesnar real quick. Forget Lesnar.
That was a good one.
That was a good segment. Yes. Yeah. That's why they're going to pay
us the
big bucks.
I like when we point out that they're good segments on the show. Thanks, Dalton. Act like you've been here before.
You're professional. You've been doing this for 2 years. Well, we have. You haven't.
That's why I still make rookie mistakes.
Here's the consolation prize of the week. All right. If Corey Graves gets the Savage AF moment of the week, consolation prize of the week, Billy Corgan buys the NWA.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
He couldn't get TNA, so he bought basically what TNA was based from.
Yeah.
Yep.
And I'm glad, because Billy Corgan clearly does have a respect for the business.
Yeah.
And he has a lot of work. Yeah.
I'm excited to see what he does with it. He's got a lot of hurdles in front of him, mostly that there's no TV deal in line, which, I mean...
can kill you.
Yeah, it really can.
Remember when Eric Bischoff, if you ever read his book or watched the Monday Night War, whatever, he mentioned how he had the chance to buy WCW originally, mm-hmm. but there was no TV deal.
Yeah.
And he's like, without the TV deal, what am I going to do with it? This is before the network. This is before that. So there's nothing to do without TV.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So, it'll be interesting to see what he can do. He's clearly smart. When he was in charge, that was, you know, a high point of TNA.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Cause it was TNA at the time, but, this is something I'm excited to follow.
Yeah.
And see more about.
I was listening to a Wrestling with Regret this today about it, and Brian Zane was talking about it. I was like, well, the issue with the NWA right now is that a way that they've been making money is they've been licensing their name out to all these different mm-hmm. things. And I think the wrestler's name is Tim Storm, and I'm not taking any away from Tim Storm, but that's the current NWA champion.
Yeah.
It's one of those where if Corgan really wants to make this a thing, he's going to have to go through all these promotions that use the NWA name, and he's going to have to be like, he's going to have to sit there and watch their product and be like, are you good enough? Because I'm not going to take a lackluster. Because he cannot afford right now to have a lackluster product.
Tim Storm didn't have a Wikipedia page until he won the title.
And I mean, I don't know.
I think he is going to have to bring in some like. He's going to have to make it a little bit more like I don't not indie friendly, but like he's going to have to put some money to get some bigger names.
Yeah.
Even if he's only doing like internet pay per views. Yeah. Like you know one show every couple months. You know, he's got some work to put in, but yeah, and with all of these other companies that have, you know, dash NWA on them or use some sort of NWA championship.
Right.
It's a lot of backlog he's going to have to work through.
And I don't know if they're
like
still
NWA TNA. I hated that. Mm-hmm. NWA TNA.
Because it started as that was the name of the show, was
Total
NWA
Nonstop
Total
Action.
Nonstop Action.
Yeah.
And then they just eventually dropped the NWA from it. And
TNA became the company,
yeah.
which
yeah.
is a terrible name for a company.
Yeah, it was
not that Anthem's much better.
Well, that's just the name of the company.
Impact.
That bought
is it Impact? Impact is the name. Impact. Of
Anthem's Impact, I think, is what it's called.
Anthem Impact, I think, is the name of the comp is like the wrestling branch of that company, and Impact is just the show.
The best news for Anthem Impact at this point is that we no longer talk about how they're going to die every week, but also nothing has happened.
But now we're just back to ignoring them. I wish you suck. I wish you sucked way less.
Yeah, exactly. So the good and the bad. Adam Cole's Ring of Honor contract is expired or expiring?
His exclusive Ring of Honor contract expired on like Monday at midnight.
And
so, like,
I read
it's Tuesday morning.
Everybody's after him.
Oh yeah,
everybody wants
WWE
Adam Cole.
Wants him. New Japan wants him. I would bet money that ROH wants him to re-sign, but he let it run down.
Yeah,
which you don't have this
I hope
on the
CCW's
list.
CCW's after him.
Oh, that'd be incredible.
That's so, that's what I tweeted to them. I was like, so I because they put out a thing like, hey, tweet us and tag who you want to who you want us to bring in. I was like, I just heard that Adam Cole, baby.
But yeah, no, and like listen again, going back to Cole Cabana, I listen to his podcast all the time, and Adam Cole has done nothing to be like, oh no, I've been a huge WWE fan my whole life.
I mean, that's what he said on
the show.
He was on Stone Cold's podcast.
I haven't listened to that one yet.
That's the one that I listened to on my way down to Sykeston to get my Switch. But it was really good. He had a two-parter. He did, he did the Tuesday show and the Thursday show.
Did he
show.
Talk about how he had the Don't Trust Anyone t-shirt?
I don't think so.
That's one of my favorite Colt Cabana stories. He's just like, oh yeah, no, I just wore wrestling t-shirts all the time and people thought I was weird.
He did tell the story about how he finally got that bump on his head removed or was about to.
Yeah, that was rough.
But he also is pretty vocal about he doesn't want to just show up on the main roster. He wants to do NXT.
Mm. I think almost everyone should go through NXT first. Mm-hmm. Unless you're like the big names.
Like Gallows, Anderson, Styles.
AJ. I mean, honestly,
even
like,
Samoa Joe could
Nakamura,
have been put on that list.
Joe. Yeah. Which apparently Joe just did a Jericho's podcast, which was also really good. He didn't even like really, the first few months he worked at NXT, he didn't have a contract. Mm-hmm. Like, he was still able to just do whatever he wanted.
Yeah, that's true.
Because
like Eric Young?
It was just one of those things where they weren't, you know, he was just constantly told, like, well, there's no guarantee. You know, okay, well, we signed you to NXT, but there's no guarantee you'll ever make it to the main show, you know, and now.
It's the same thing they did with Owens.
Yeah.
Yeah.
If you don't have this on the list, but I just read today, and I don't have all the details, so I'm just going to give the basic. But they announced Kenny Omega versus Okada 2.
Oh, really?
Yes. Cool. I don't know what show it is. Dalton, if you want to look that up for us real quick.
They have a big summer show coming up, I think, next month.
I don't remember the name of it. And that may be what you're talking about, what I'm talking about. Mm-hmm. But yeah, Omega Okada 2. And I'm looking forward to that because that first match was amazing.
Oh, yeah. That's going to win a whole lot of Match of the Year awards.
Yes. Well, unless Austin Lane does something really cool. Because depending on who they put that Austin with, he'll win it. That's for you, Austin. Best of the best. What is this? Rocket League has announced a WWE deal?
They were on Twitter and, they retweeted, WWE posted something about Backlash, just some generic, you know, hey, May 21st, I think, Sunday, Backlash. And Rocket League retweeted it with an actual just like full, like not a statement, but like, oh, we're excited to be a part of WWE, and it's more than just Backlash. So I don't know if it's like them sponsoring Backlash.
Maybe we'll get some DLC content for Rocket League.
That's what I'm thinking. I'm thinking like car toppers, flags.
Well, I mean, they
crush hour cars.
Yes,
I was about to say crush hour 2. Yes. Give it to me, please.
Yeah. So if you guys that don't know what Rocket League is, it's basically soccer with cars.
It's fun.
It's very, very popular.
It's a lot of fun.
Yeah. Also, Omega Okada 2 is going to be at Dominion 2017.
Dominion 2017.
And that's going to be June 11th, it looks like.
Yeah, so WWE just tweeted, don't miss the SmackDown Live exclusive pay-per-view event, blah, blah, blah. And then Rocket League, what a play. We're teaming up with WWE and WWE. Backlash is just the beginning. Hashtag SmackDown SD Live.
Let's see what happens.
So I'm like, you know, because, I mean, I'm pretty much exclusively thinking, like, toppers and flags because there's a whole bunch of customization to your vehicles.
Right.
And they have a bunch of, like, they did a Batman v Superman DLC. You can get the DeLorean.
Worms.
Yeah.
Worms.
So they may do, you know, like, it's rated T, so I don't know if they could, but like Austin's beer truck. Or like Eddie's lowrider. Like, you could do like actual cars.
The Brahma Bull.
Cause there's a lot of and I mean just like for cars you can drive. Mm. Like, there's a lot of, you know, famous WWE influenced vehicles that they could use.
Yeah.
But I think that would be a bit of a stretch.
I'd take it though.
Oh no, that'd be cool.
That would be cool content.
That'd
be
super cool. But even just, you know, flags and toppers or, you know, paint jobs or something would be awesome.
We got two stories from Impact here, other than what we've been talking about earlier. Christina Von Erie wants to merge the Impact and GFW titles, Global Force Wrestling. Yep. Law. You might as well, because I still, yeah. I just assume they were the same promotion at this point.
They are. Like, they merged together, but they're still separate champions. So, like, Magnus is still the GFW champion, and Christina Von Erie, formerly known as Toxin, is the GFW women's champion, and she had a vignette promo calling out Rosemary, who's the Knockouts champion. And saying that she wanted to unify the championship.
And that's a good idea.
Which would be cool.
Yeah, you have too many titles on a show. It makes it confusing. You don't know who to go for
what. I don't know if Cody Rhodes is still the next-gen GFW champion.
I think he is because I don't think they've run very many GFW shows. Like, I don't think Magnus has only defended that championship two or three times.
I know that he's dropped the WCPW Internet Championship.
Yeah.
So I think he might still be the – I'm not 100% sure. I can look it up, but I think he still is.
Also, speaking of too many championships, DDT Pro, the one that has the Iron Man
– the Heavy Metal Iron Man
DDT Heavy Metal Pro Iron Man DDT, like, 24-hour championship thing.
Which has been won by a cat, inanimate objects.
Yep.
Yeah, and I'm not making a cat won the title once.
Joey Ryan is the main. He's, like, the flag bearer for this belt. Yeah. He's the one that usually has it.
They just announced a 10-person tag team championship.
Wait, 10-person as in 10 people or 5 people?
Five-man team.
Okay.
But it'll be 10-man matches.
Oh.
That's a disaster.
That's
a train wreck.
Their stuff with that heavy metal championship has been consistently entertaining at the least.
But what if they're all cats?
What if cats win, like five cats win the title?
The puppy bowl has stakes now.
Yay!
Also
Hunter, start training Parker.
Parker don't want no part of that. He's got his knife.
He's a solo star.
He's a hardcore wrestler. It's him versus Masada.
Kill Parker, kill.
Also from Impact, Matt Sydal debuted.
Yes, he made his debut last week.
Now who's Matt Sydal?
Evan Bourne.
I know. For those of you,
okay.
I knew who he was. Or are you mad about something else?
I just want to be in WWE. I get why he's not, but
205 Live.
Yeah, oh my God,
he'd be
yeah.
perfect for it.
But yeah, he had a graphic. Him against just Neville. It said reborn.
Neville was the reason I just knew Bourne was getting released. Be like, that really? Shooting star press is beautiful, but red
it's like
arrow.
Kalisto shows up and like, oh, bye, Ray.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's like, we don't need you anymore.
But Evan Bourne was also always really, really good.
No,
he was solid.
Evan Bourne was one of my favorite, like, underdog, I know they're never going to do with him guys, like Paul London. Mm-hmm. Like, I love Paul London to death, and I always knew they were never going to do anything really cool with him.
Right.
Same thing with Matt Sydal or Evan Bourne.
Yeah.
All right. Let's get to the, before we talk about Payback and before we talk about the House of Horrors.
Mm-hmm.
Stride is this weekend. They're going to have their first show out of the dojo, right?
Yeah, mm-hmm. Roadshow. Yep.
First Roadshow. And this one is stacked. James Storm is going to be there.
Yes.
Dalton, you have the card.
Yes,
Hunter
I
just
do.
Messaged me real quick, so I'm going to reply to him while you
All right, cool.
talk about that.
So this is the show in Pinckneyville, Illinois. Yep,
for the tornado relief.
Yes.
Yes.
So it's also a benefit show.
Benefit show, yes. So we have Dexter Roswell versus JD, which super excited to see JD back. Happy that he's healthy again. Chris Hargis versus Farmer Billy Hills, which that's going to be just a fun match.
Yeah.
We have T-Dog and it's at a school. So it is T-Dog versus the school's PE teacher versus Tony and Alexa Flood. I don't
From
know.
From Canada.
I don't know if
Wait, is it T-Dog and the school's PE teacher?
Yeah.
Okay. I thought you said versus. And I was like, is this a four-way match?
Yeah. No, it's T-Dog and the school's PE teacher. I don't know if the PE teacher's a man or woman.
It's a man.
I don't know.
Well, they had him.
No, that's somebody
different. Different
teacher. Yeah, I'm getting there.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, there's two teachers?
Two teachers on
three.
The
Isn't there a midget too or a little kid wrestling?
That's Marco and no.
That's not Marco. Stop it. Go on with the story.
So it's T-Dog and the school's PE teacher versus Tony and Alexa. We have Red Daniels and Jay. And I know Red has been pushing for that to be a chairs match more and more on social media. So maybe we'll get a chairs match. We don't know. Because he destroyed Jay at the last show with a chair.
And had a great showing at CCW.
He
the Super
did,
Show.
Yeah. And then we have Maximum Overdrive versus Plumster and Question Mark. Now, Plumster is...
That's the teacher I was thinking of.
That's the other teacher.
Yeah. So, that was the one that Maximum Overdrive hit with the chain.
Yes.
Yeah. So, and then we have the TLC match with Heath Hatton versus Roger Mathis. And that match.
I'm so excited.
The more we go to these Stride shows, the more I just start cherry picking all these people. And I'm like, God, I'd love to see them in Cape.
Yep.
We start messaging Jason.
Which is everybody. I can't think of a guy I've seen in Stride yet that I haven't wanted over.
I would love Dexter Roswell at CCW.
I would also love... Well, he was at CCW. We took a picture with him. He looked very grumpy.
Yes.
He always looks grumpy.
He does. He just wants to make everything great again.
The first time I saw Roger Mathis, like that was the one I'm like, come play, please.
That dude is legit scary.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Legit
scary. And Red was also one of those people that I was like, I would love to see him at CCW, and I was super excited. Like you were here whenever Jason told me it was going to be him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I was super excited for that.
Because, you know, the weird thing about Roger Mathis, though, is that, like, when I see Red, Red's a big guy.
Yeah.
Red's a big guy, big scary guy.
Yeah.
But you also can tell that he has a sense of humor, like the dude's sharp and all that. When I look at Roger Mathis, I just see kill, kill, kill.
Yeah.
I don't think he has a personality. I think he only sees two color, rage and hatred. Those are colors now.
Yep.
He's like a living embodiment of a wasp.
And reverse fingerless
Well, I guess wasps are living. He's a human embodiment of a wasp. Look, a broken clock can be... Anyway.
But yeah, no, that's going to be a good show. Are you going to be there, Shannon?
Get at me after the show.
All right, cool. I know.
Because I want to go. Allie can't go, and so, Allie's kind of like my shadow.
Yeah, it's the same thing as CCW with the show they did a couple of months back for the Perryville Tornado Relief. It's a benefit show. You need to be there for one because it's going to be amazing wrestling. It's a good cause.
And James Storm is going to be there.
Storm is going to be there. I've met James Storm before. He is a fantastic person. He's always been really cool.
Super entertaining.
Yeah, I've never heard a bad thing about him, so... Mm-hmm.
I'm excited to meet him. I've loved James Storm for a really long time.
Yeah. I was really hoping for Tyrus, though, because I wanted to pick his brain about politics.
To throw it back to Impact for a minute, he and EC3 just had a really good promo on the Impact. If you put aside, Impact started with Josh Matthews and Jeremy Borash.
Lead with your best foot.
Terrible. But there was a wonderful interaction between EC3 and James Storm. And James Storm kind of talked about, you know, EC3 talked about all the guys who helped build Impact and then left. And James Storm talks about, yeah, I helped build it and I stuck around to keep it going. Like, it felt sincere.
It was like a reverse of, Pritchard coming out on the first recast show and saying, remember how great these guys were in WWF?
And that was part of the problem with it was, EC3 is the heel now. So him talking about how he carried the company on his back for 3 months and stuck around, or for 3 years and stuck around. It's like, yeah, that kind of makes you, a lot of people don't want to cheer Bruce Pritchard, so.
Yeah, I don't.
But James Storm is just so good at what he does. Like, he was able to get the fans to rally behind him and, you know, kind of turn on EC3.
And you can meet him at Stride
I'm actually super excited to be able to meet with him. Maybe I can babble on like I did with Mark Wade.
I hope so.
Mm-hmm. I'll embarrass myself. Don't worry, I'll make sure to mention our podcast. I'll embarrass all of us.
Well, Terry Funk knows about it.
Yeah, that's the important thing. Yeah.
So please go see Stride. It's this weekend. It's a great, great show. It's
great
a lot
show,
of fun.
Great cause. That TLC match
great
is going to be nuts.
Yeah, and support the DR party.
Yep. Wait, no. Boo. I boo that.
Okay.
I'm just agreeing with you.
All right, let's talk about Payback. We got about 10 minutes. Let's talk about Payback quickly. What?
Okay, so here's the thing with Payback for me. Payback was a great show.
It was a good show.
Payback was amazing.
It was a good show.
Except for House of Horrors. House of Horrors brought everything else down. Because let's just run through the matches real quick and tell me what was just okay. Kevin Owens versus Chris Jericho.
That match was
moving
awesome.
Moving on. It was Neville versus Austin Aries.
I didn't get to see that one, unfortunately, because I was getting so pizza. Yeah.
That match was great. The finish was... I liked it.
Oh, I did see the finish where Neville purposely
Aries
cheated.
Had him beat and Neville dragged the referee across him.
The Asuka thing.
The Hardy Boys versus Cesaro and Cesaro.
Sheamus
and Cesaro.
Oh my God.
I'm good at words.
Matt Hardy took a beating, and I think this is leading into a broken gimmick.
And Jeff Hardy lost a tooth.
Legit.
Yeah. But that match was really good. And then the beatdown happened after was also very good.
And kudos to the Hardys for not just resting on Nostalgia Act, for actually putting in the effort.
Putting on good shows. Yeah. Bayley versus Alexa Bliss.
I liked it. It was a good match. Yeah. I wish they'd kept the title on Bayley longer. Mm-hmm. I really do.
Because what was the point? But good thing is, first person to get both belts was not Charlotte. So
that's true.
Yeah.
Good for
small victories.
Good for Bliss.
And Alexa deserves it. I love it.
Oh, yeah. No, she's fantastic. Yeah.
Samoa Joe versus Seth Rollins.
That was a good match.
Okay, this might be an unpopular opinion.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And I take nothing away from him as a wrestler, but I'm kind of bored with Seth Rollins.
Yes, you're absolutely right.
You agree with that?
Yeah. That's not an unpopular opinion.
Oh, I thought that was an unpopular opinion.
No, basically the Shield is in a rotation of who the internet hates the most. So Roman Reigns is always number one.
By default.
But Dean and Seth are constantly vying for that number two spot. So
yeah, you know what? Actually, now that you mention it, of the three, Roman Reigns is the one I'm most interested in.
Yeah.
Strictly, if nothing else, for his work with Braun Strowman, which was fantastic.
He's the only one that they're giving really anything to right now.
Well, I mean, Seth Rollins gets promo time. He does good matches, but
he had a main event in quotation marks with Triple H at WrestleMania. Dean Ambrose is the Intercontinental Champion.
Yeah, there's just something about Rollins that just at this point I'm just.
If you watch Monday, it's the same kind of thing. Like, he was doing the whole down on your luck, but you guys believed in me and you stuck with me. And we talked about it in the group chat quite a bit, and Hunter and I agreed that they killed Rollins, all of his momentum, by bringing him back as not a full-blown face like everyone wanted him to be, and then having that feud with Triple H just be drug out with huge periods of nothing for months. And that just killed all of his momentum. And now he's just trying to be... Once he gets some sort of edge to him, like what AJ Styles has,
vanilla good guy right now.
And that's something that Stone Cold talked about, like at his WrestleMania review, was just like Seth Rollins just doesn't have that thing that a lot of other people have right now. But as soon as he gets it, he's going to be just so much money. And that match was really good. I liked the finish a lot of him reversing the Kikina clutch.
Yeah.
And so he beat Joe, but he didn't like lay him out. He didn't beat him with a finisher. And then Joe with just a vicious attack on Monday. Yeah. Oh, I want to talk about that.
Can't do it.
We're going to. And then the main event.
It's not another super show.
It's not going to be a super show. And then Roman Reigns versus Strowman.
Which was a great match.
Which was a really good match.
And we all had the fear that Roman Reigns was going to win despite the fact that he was so beat up. But I want to go out on a limit and say that the story they told in that match where Roman Reigns, I actually loved it, where Roman Reigns was not like the super, I can't be beat. He was I'm tough and I took a beating and I don't care. I'm still going to fight back as much as I can. They didn't sell it as like a John Cena smile when you get beat up. Roman Reigns was hurt.
Yeah.
He fought back because he had to. You could tell that he sold the arm the entire match. That's crazy.
He got in a little bit too much offense for my liking. But I mean, I'm not saying it was a bad match.
It made sense. Maybe it went too far, but like he threw a lot of punches. He did what he could with the injuries. And it's just that he's a tough son of a bitch. So of course it worked.
And that's his best kind of match though.
It is.
And to me though,
Roman Reigns versus Lesnar, same way.
But to me though, that's kind of an issue of, for him to be like that believable it finally took this to make him the underdog that they want him to be. Like it only took him being just demolished backstage, flipped over in an ambulance, you know.
I mean, they'll go back to generic Roman Reigns in
a week. Yeah.
Yeah, but this Roman Reigns match was one of my favorites.
And now Braun Strowman looks like a true monster to lose to Brock Lesnar in 2 minutes. Also, the ending, like afterwards, where he's like, I'm not finished with him again, and then charged at him, but then broke off the ambulance door, and then limping away is like, because you can't just have one night. Two nights in a row featuring Roman that he's on TV to let him be beaten down.
Decimated.
I didn't hate it as much. I didn't like it because I think they should have left it at what they did. But again, it was Roman Reigns ducked out of the way. And I could buy that Strowman hates him so much that he would put himself in harm to hurt him more. Reigns stepped out of the way and then slammed him with the other door over and over again. And not in look how bad I'm beating you way, but in a, my God, let me beat you enough just to get away for 5 seconds.
Except he's not the one that ran away.
What did happen? I don't even remember.
Strowman charged into the boxes, got up, Reigns beat him, and then he just kind of wandered off through an exit.
Well, you scare the bear away.
Yeah, I guess.
And then he'll come back for the honey on Monday.
On Monday, just real quick, the main event was a triple threat match for the number one contendership for the Intercontinental Championship. It was Miz, Balor, and Rollins.
Uh-huh.
Rollins got taken out by Joe. Wyatt came in and took out Balor, so Miz got the pin on Balor. This is immediately the night after. The only reason Randy Orton won or lost was because Jinder Mahal.
And the Bollywood Boys.
They are doing too many of these. The person I'm feuding with costs me the match.
Yeah.
And it's getting to the point where I'm noticing it way. They did it twice in one match.
The stink on that horse is starting to bother you.
Yeah. So
you can beat it, but you can only beat it so much.
That was something that that really stood out to me. But, no, the Jericho Owens match was great. It set up for that amazing beatdown on SmackDown.
Yeah, it was a good card.
Where Owens did beat Jericho. He did win the championship, and then everything was after the fact.
Yes.
So.
I wish we could talk more about stuff like, and talking smack and the great AJ Styles interaction, even with AJ
and then on
with
SmackDown,
Shane.
Baron Corbin. No, wait, that didn't happen.
That didn't
happen.
That's
what I assumed was going to happen.
That was headcanon.
That was the headcanon. That was the headcanon of just like, gee,
but,
I wonder.
But let's talk about
But it did take, oh no, it wasn't Baron Corbin. It was one of the Bollywood boys. So Jinder Mahal got the win on Sami Zayn because off of a distraction.
Which is a shame because I really do think that Jinder Mahal could be legitimate contender if they played him right. He has the look. He's not terrible in the ring. He's completely serviceable. He could be a contender.
He could be, but they were going on two extremes of the spectrum too soon.
Yeah. From immediate loser to immediate contender.
Yeah.
In the span of a week. The week before he became number one contender, he lost to Mojo Rawley.
Yep.
That was a thing.
So
that's a thing somehow.
Who wasn't on SmackDown this week?
Good.
Praise be.
Maybe he choked himself with a Zubaz.
Praise be Kane.
What? That's his god.
Let's a lot of people's. Let's talk about the true star of this week in the world of professional wrestling. It wasn't CCW. It wasn't Fight. It wasn't Anthem. It was that House of Horrors match. The only reason I showed up for Payback, because I knew the show was going to be good, but I didn't think – it's nothing to really talk about. It was good.
We could talk a lot more about it. I want to talk a lot more about it.
But not in a negative way, can. I mean.
Like, no, that's what I mean. Like, yeah. I want to talk about Payback a lot because Payback was the – that was the most I've enjoyed a WWE pay-per-view in – months.
Mm-hmm. But the reason I came was because I wanted to know what the House of Horrors match was. Mm-hmm. They said before it that, I think it was Bray Wyatt said that every room will test you mentally and your spirit and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm. Like every room is a new nightmare.
Yes.
Is your worst nightmare
and
come to
life.
And
if your worst nightmare is poorly hung baby dolls from the ceiling.
But some of those baby dolls had poked out eyes and heads where heads aren't supposed to be.
And some of them had like Joker smiles on them.
Mm-hmm. Stop, I'm getting scared. Can we turn the lights on?
They are on.
No, like all the lights though.
Oh, sorry.
Like we have the one row on right now, but I.
So let me just put it out flat. The House of Horrors match was the biggest piece of shit I've ever seen in wrestling.
And this is someone only like 6 months ago you were saying that about TNA.
I will say this about Apocalyptico was that it was or Apocalyptica. What was it?
It was
Apocalypse. Whatever.
Total Nonstop Deletion. That was the one, because mm-hmm. that was actually the name of it. That was the
name. Match was a tag team Apocalypto.
Yeah. At least they had fun with that. Like when I was watching that, even though I didn't agree with it.
It was tongue in cheek.
It was tongue in cheek. They were having a good time. And I could see where the entertainment value is of Shane Helms turning back into Hurricane and stuff like that. Like it's stupid. It melted my brain with its stupidity.
Everett and Lee doing the three count dance with Helms.
It was the dumbest thing I'd ever seen to that point. But this
so far.
Yeah. Because this thing was so void of any entertainment value. It wasn't tongue in cheek. It wasn't campy. It wasn't scary. It wasn't anything.
I fell asleep.
She fell asleep. Literally.
Yeah, can't confirm.
It was so, it was pointless. And it was like, who greenlighted this? Who looked at this and said, this is going to live up to all the hype?
Apparently Michael Hayes. I just read that, like, as I was scrolling through Facebook, it was apparently Michael Hayes' idea.
Even Jerry Lawler went on Twitter or whatever and mm-hmm. said, yeah.
I had my expectations too high.
I think we all had our expectations, but we
we had our expectations, is what he said.
Yeah, okay. We had our expectations that it was going to be so over the top bad, mm-hmm. but it wasn't.
But
it was so tame.
It
and
really
that's
was
part of the problem.
Hey, there
was
Shannon,
there was the True Detective like from the first season in the one room. Okay, so fast forward a little bit when Bray Wyatt is outside of the house and raises his arms. And the light it's bathed in Naomi's entrance.
Yes.
Cause it was blue.
Cause I legitimately started singing her song. Like, I'm like, oh, this is going to be great. and then it like turns red. I assumed he was going to burn, like he was going to set the house on fire.
With Randy Orton inside.
With Randy Orton in it because he burned his home. So now he's going to burn him alive in this home. And then that like, but did they skimp out on the pyro? Because everything was bathed in red light.
What happened was he gave back Kane's powers that one time. If he would have kept him, he could have just boom, and then it would have been on flame.
Not just his house. His house that is conveniently located in the exact place that the pay-per-view was happening.
Oh, yeah, no. His House of Horrors match took place here in San Jose, California.
At 6 at night.
6:30 at night is when Randy Orton drove up to it.
Pitch black.
Absolute darkness.
Which led to our favorite tweet of the week, which was Joey Ryan saying, nothing I do in wrestling is less believable than it being pitch black at 6:30 in San Jose, California.
Turns out the actual house is here in Missouri.
In Richmond, Missouri, which is like an hour or two away from Kansas City.
So it's only like 5 hours away.
Was that true? That's where they filmed it?
Yeah, they filmed it in Missouri.
Yeah. But probably whenever they were doing their loop in like Cape Girardeau and Kansas and all that.
Yeah, there's a solid chance they probably did it while they did the Kansas show.
So because he shaved.
Yes.
Randy Orton lost facial hair from this match.
Not only that.
No, he burned it out by the lasers of the red light that bathed the house.
The whole goddamn thing started with Randy Orton. First off, I hate the camera angles. Yep. I hate when they try to make it like a movie.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I get Lucha Underground does it. Mm-hmm. That's its style. Mm-hmm. That's its style.
That's every episode.
That's what it's presented. It's a consistency.
Yes. WWE does not do it. They've done it twice. And with New Day and the Wyatts and now this. Mm-hmm. So, and the sirens going off behind us, of course. They're even pissed off about it. Randy Orton shows up. What's the first thing you see is a tractor.
Him shirtless in dress pants with knee pads over them in the back of a limo. Because that's how he got to the House of Horrors.
In a limo.
Was in a limo.
Shirtless.
Mm-hmm.
And then the ghost did it, Hunter. The ghost drove the tractor backwards.
Mm-hmm.
And Randy Orton kind of looks like, what? And then goes in the house.
He goes in the house and the door shut on its own.
On its own. How creepy is that?
Ghosts do those things.
This is like...
Okay, can we stop talking about this? I'm getting freaked out.
This is grade school level horror writing. As a guy, like, I write horror. That's one of my favorite things, and I watch horror a lot. Allie, tell them.
No, he watches horror a lot.
That is my bread and butter.
Listen to us in October.
I made a horror film.
She made a horror film that was scarier than The House of Horrors.
And it ended up being a joke.
Well, so did this, technically.
The entire thing was a joke.
Technically,
so Brock Lesnar, no, Bray Wyatt shows up at the arena, gets out of the limo, out of breath.
Because it's a long continuity, I guess?
I don't know.
Do you know how many G's you have to go to get from, like, Missouri to California
fast? Absolutely.
He was breaking the time barrier.
But he wasn't running.
But just
the way he was goddamn Flintstones with his feet down in the car.
No, but
he was in the fight of his life.
He dropped a fridge on him.
Do you know how heavy fridges are? He had to push one over on Randy Orton.
And he's fat, so you know it was full.
He gets out of the limo. He's out of breath still.
Mm-hmm.
He gets in the ring. He gets his full intro.
Mm-hmm.
And the moment the lights come on, Randy Orton's there.
He's there.
That is Batman. This is Dark Knight Rises level of how the hell did he get back there?
The different limo. He rode the tractor.
Backwards the entire way.
The tractor actually had NOS on it. You didn't know. He souped it up.
He rode the whip. He shows up. He shows up clean shaven.
He had time to shave. All that time traveling.
Yeah. And then it takes a fridge being dumped on him, voodoo magic probably, Jinder Mahal hitting him with the belt multiple times, and then like two Sister Abigails to finally put down Randy Orton. So I guess Wyatt technically won a feud. Thank goodness it wasn't for the championship he just lost.
Which on Monday, Bray Wyatt did mention how he closed the book. He final chapter on Randy Orton. Yeah, you got one over on him, pal.
Good job.
Good writing.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, so it was, for all of you wondering what we thought of the House of Horrors match, it was the most insulting thing I've seen as a wrestling fan.
It was a good nap.
We mentioned PMS and Meat earlier.
But even that had some kind of entertainment value to me. Like,
this was just random brawling through a poorly lit house.
That they tried to throw in the most basic props. Of scares that anyone could put in.
CCW's home arena, the arena building here in Cape Girardeau, has creepier accessories in the back for the Haunted Hall of Horror they put on every year than the House of Horrors.
I really want to know what their thinking was on it. Like, you had the potential to do something over the top.
I genuinely think they wanted to burn the house down, and for whatever reason, they weren't allowed to. I really think that was what they wanted to do.
That was the payoff?
That had to have been, because why else do you just turn the house light from blue to red? Is it because he was leaving SmackDown and going to Raw?
And not only that, you could rewind it.
Thought of it, and I'm like, wow, that's terrible.
You could see the damn spotlights on the sides, mm-hmm. bathing it. That is terrible editing too, and it was pre-taped. You could have taken it out. You didn't
care.
You
had shots at multiple takes.
You could have reshot the whole damn thing and made it better. There was no point to it. They could have just had the match in the ring. There was no point to it. If this is the new Bray Wyatt, if this is where they take his character, is not just that he's a creepy cult leader,
mm-hmm.
that he has quote unquote creepy houses and he can make stuff appear in the ring. I am done with Bray Wyatt. Forever.
And it breaks my heart. Like, cause I was so on board with Bray Wyatt, and I still, like, I'm hoping that they can do some cool stuff now that they can really get behind an actual Balor Wyatt feud instead of teasing one for 2 weeks because, I still have to wrestle this guy.
You know how awesome that paint's gonna be?
Yeah.
It's gonna be so cool.
Go back, do yourself a favor, go back and watch the first appearance of the Wyatts on Raw.
Mm-hmm.
That is classic. That is amazing.
Watch old NXT before they were super paranormal.
Yeah.
No, this was on Raw. He wasn't super paranormal on Raw.
Yeah, no.
No, he was, like, just saying, like, they built war. I'm not afraid of your war. I invented war. He's saying things that, even though they don't really make sense, I saw it from the character's point of view. Yes.
Yeah. You understand what he's saying.
But what the hell is he now?
Yeah.
Like, I don't get it.
The new face of fear?
This is not how The Undertaker got over.
No.
It's terrible.
Undertaker got over by winning matches.
It's terrible. It's god-awful. And shame on the WWE. You're the MF-er of the week. Bringing it back. You're the MF-er of the millennium.
But everything else about Payback was amazing.
Yeah.
It's a and you know.
And that's the bummer, is that House of Horrors completely overshadowed with it the negativity that it brought, the great work that everyone on that card put forward.
And poor Bray Wyatt and Randy Orton. Especially Bray Wyatt, to be told that this character that he worked on so much, and you could tell he put a lot of heart and into the acting and all that, that this is what you are now. This is your gimmick. You have creepy houses. You have magical powers. You can make images appear. I want to say the F word so bad that I'm not going to.
Friend.
Dolphin no. friend. Let's get out of here. We're done with the show tonight. Thank you guys for listening. I hope our review of House of Horrors lived up to the hype. Lane, thanks.
We should have brought casting back for one show.
We'll be back tomorrow with Podzilla After Dark. It's going to be a great show. Until then, have a good night and stay away from that House of Horrors.
Or go to it. It's in Missouri.
Richmond.
Have a good night, guys.